Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh, sing it now. Our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh, yes, He does. Somebody say, I believe it. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? We just took a heavenly journey, didn't we? Praise the Lord. God is so good to us, and it's so good to be back in service tonight. I know you're looking forward to what the Lord would have for us. I believe He's going to give us a good time tonight, don't you? Amen. Before we get started, why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of that, brethren, if you will. Tell you what, when you're on top of the world, or when the world's on top of you, it don't change his business, then he's still God. Aren't you glad we're serving the God that's good? Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is once again to be in His house. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you would stand with me just for a few minutes. Sister Connie Cook wants us to remember her in prayer. She's not feeling well tonight, so let's remember her and ask God to touch her. I want to pray for Brother Terry Stockton's mother, who is having several problems due to a surgery that she had. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Also, I want to remember Karen Hampton in prayer tonight. She's in the hospital with pneumonia, so let's pray for that need tonight. Please remember the Baker family in prayer for physical and financial needs. The Lord just be mindful to those folks tonight. Brother Byron Palmer offers this testimony. Says he wants to praise the Lord. Mother did not have any broken bones from her fall. So somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we just thank the Lord for that tonight. Here's another request to please continue to pray for Brother Curtis Hunnell. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center. He's been treated for pneumonia. His white blood count has gone up, so they have had to change his treatment to reduce it. The doctors do not know why. He has inflammation in his body, so they're just checking him for a lot of different various things, and visitors and calls are encouraging to him. So if you've got time to give him a phone call, run by and see him. I'm sure he would appreciate that. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center, Brother Curtis Hunnell. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, now we know that we're serving a God that can answer prayer. He's answered prayers time and time and time and time again, and he's no different tonight. His power is still just as real. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother David, why don't you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord, if you would. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the presence of our Lord and ask him to have his perfect will on all these requests. We kind of appreciate this guy around here, don't we? We love you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be able to gather here again, Lord, this evening. And Lord, we bring these petitions before you tonight, Father, asking, Lord, on behalf of each one, may you just come and move upon their needs. You said in your word, Lord, that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. We believe that same God would move upon these needs tonight, Lord. And you see every hand that's been lifted, Lord. You know every heart. You know every need. We just bring them before you now, Father, and ask, dear God, that your will and your word would be done in each and every one of them. Lord, be in the service this evening. We invite you into our midst, Lord. May you just come, Lord. Receive our worship. May it be pleasing to you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the services tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a little song tonight. I believe this, that in a world that is just as full of trouble as it possibly can get, it seems, I'm glad that all is well. Are you glad about that tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. With all your heart. Yes, all is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message along. All is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all. Oh, sing that chorus again. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message alone. All is well.
Canaanite woman and her son. The woman found favor with God. He gave her a son.
Yes, he did.
While working in the field, the little boy died. But the woman's faith never failed. Even in death, she testified that all is well.
All is well. Yes, all is well. All is well.
We have heard the message alone. All is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil.
Oh, so rest, little bride, rest for all his will.
Things have not worked out.
Oh, that's right.
But God's people fall.
Yes, Lord.
For we're still here fighting the greatest battle ever fought.
Oh, but we're winners, church.
We must have the faith of Abraham. knowing God's word never fails. If you trust in Him, you'll find that all is well.
Still fighting the greatest battle ever fought.
Say it.
We must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If you trust in Him, you'll find that all is well.
Praise the Lord. I believe that, don't you? Let's sing a little chorus tonight. Maybe you sing a verse of it. Somewhere just across that Jordan River. That sounds like home to me, don't it, you? Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that tonight, Brother Harry, if you would.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace.
Hallelujah.
The tree of life is blooming there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Oh, let's sing about it in that church.
And that sounds like home.
Saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside the city.
Oh, hallelujah.
A crystal river flowing by
the tree.
Disappointments ever come.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
our God will be the light.
Hallelujah. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears.
Hills will echo where story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Where the saints of God will be, that sounds like my home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by a tree of life. Oh, no pain, no disappointments ever come there.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
Praise the Lord. And that sounds like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim my eyes again.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be, that sounds like my home to me.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory. Where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me.
Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. Oh, sing that verse again, Brother Harry. Sing that second verse. Just singing about it makes you get so homesick you can't hardly stand it. Just thinking about it, Brother David, what awaits us. Brother Keith, I know you're going through a hard time in your life, but to think about what Sister Natalie has got to enjoy in her short journey while she's been there makes us want to go, Brother Terry. Makes us want to just go, don't it? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Sing it, buddy.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal
Hallelujah.
River flowing by
Hallelujah.
A tree of life.
Oh, sing it to him, church.
No pain, no disappointments ever come there. And Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no
sing of His grace and glory.
Where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me.
Where the saints of God will be,
that sounds like home.
Just love Him a little bit, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing too good. I can't let you quit right yet. Let's sing just a little bit more. In the morning when I rise, God, let it start it with you. Amen. Give me Jesus. Let's sing just a little bit of that song just before we change the order of the service tonight. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Well, now when I am alone, when I am alone, oh, when I feel so alone, just give me Jesus. Say it, hurry.
Give me Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
Now when I come to die, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
You can have all this world.
You can have it all.
You can have all this world.
Just give me Jesus. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight, Brother Chuck. If you have a song for us, if you'll come, get ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service.
When searching for peace in some void, I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while Jesus was waiting to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in love. He was there all the time. Never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with Him is a cup of new life. And oh, what I missed, He had been waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Yes, He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He waited patiently in line. He was there all the time.
Stand together. How many can say amen to that for yourself?
Amen.
He's been there all the time. When I wasn't faithful, when I wasn't good, when I wasn't worthy, when I say I'm saying me and you too. But He was there anyway. We're so grateful for His love and His mercy to us, that He would reach out to us and give us things that's so beyond. I'm sure it'll take eternity to really completely unfold all the wonderful, great things that God has done for us. Are we happy to be together tonight in the house of God? Amen. So appreciate the privilege that we can come together. Brother Tony is with us, as you can see tonight. We're certainly glad to have him and Sister Rebecca. They are certainly pilgrims. They're not strangers to us, but they are pilgrims. They come from Canada to Lebanon, kicked out of Lebanon, from Lebanon to Cyprus. Who knows where they'll be from there on out. But we're just grateful that God has people that are willing to basically give up everything. And Carol was talking about it today. I mean, going to a place to where you know hardly anybody at all. You have no church to go to. You have nobody to fellowship with you on your same level of understanding. Nobody to be in contact with day by day and all that. What a sacrifice it is. I tell you, once we get there, I think, and the Lord Jesus unfolds what His people have done for His kingdom, it'll be overwhelming. Let me share this with you before Brother Tony comes. And Carol's talking about today. I told her, I said, can you imagine musicians that give their gift and their talent to God? Imagine Brother Harry, Brother Larry, these brothers here. If they live to be, and they play their music and give their talent to God for 40, 50, 60 years in service, they have been robbed, as we would say, of at the end of the service when the word's over, when you can stand there and do this. What if you went to church and that was taken from you for 60 years of your life? To make it better for you. So you can worship. So what if Brother Larry does that, starts doing that now forever service? At the end of worship service, piano stops. Organ stops. Drums stop. Guitar, bass, steel. So they start worshiping like you're worshiping. So let me ask you, do you want them to sacrifice and give it up so you can do it? Isn't it amazing how we look at things? Would we want God to send someone to the foreign fields and help them to be willing to give up their family and give up everything? But would you want to be that one? Whew. So we better pray for those that God sends with all of our hearts, that God will help them and God will give them. And remember, Jesus is beholding to no man. So you imagine when the people of God, not just preachers, but musicians, deacons, trustees, his brothers in the sound booth, the brothers that do the audio and the video and all that. And they give all of these things to make it better for other people. I know many, many times my son-in-law, Scotty, he'll be on the phone the entire service because some sister somewhere out in the middle of nowhere can't get on the service. She can't get online. So he spends all that entire service trying to help that one saint of God. So when it's all said and done and we all walk before the throne of God and the rewards are given out, I want to be standing near, don't you? Because what's done for the least of these, my brothers, is done to me. So we not only say this by words, but I appreciate what people do for the kingdom of God. And let me say on that remark that sometimes these brothers might get a little bit loud, too loud for your taste, but you keep in mind, they are expressing in a form of worship what they will not be allowed to do. Y'all get louder when you worship? You do? You wouldn't deprive that of them, would you? Or would you now? I get loud when I worship. It's my expression. So God takes all these different lives and merges them all together with all these different kinds of gifts. And He sends them all out and He sows that seed and He says, now sons, go get them. Some are called to preach to big crowds, some small a handful, one, two, three over there. But it's all accomplished and when it's all said and done, all the glory goes right back to Him. Amen. So we're so proud and happy to be associated with our brother Tony Abman, known for many, many years, and just admire him and appreciate the work that God's put on him and Sister Rebecca's heart to be able to do. I don't think I could do it. I'm not called to do what they do. But knowing a little bit about personally some of the things that go through and all that, I think, my. But you so admire people that do it. And you don't just think of them remotely, but you pray for them and do what you can to try to help them and support them. God bless you. Brother Tony, let's give him a
bless you. That is,
I'll give it back.
Will you give it back? Just trying to think how hot or how cold I am, you know. Yes, sir. It's certainly good to be with you all. You know, and as Brother Donnie has said some of those things, I just couldn't help but think, Brother Donnie, you know, I've played ball a few times and, How many ever knows what it's like to be sitting on the bench and you're just waiting to have something to do? You know what I mean? You know, you want to get out there. You want to be in the field. You don't care what position you got. You just want to be in the game, right? I tell you, Brother Don, I've sat on them benches before. I've been the last person picked sometimes. And you know what kind of feeling that is? Just to have something to do. It makes you feel good. Some of us get hard jobs to do, but I tell you what, it's a job. You got easier things to do. You know, you live here in Johnson City. It is also written, if you can't go, you can help send somebody. Well, you know, God made me in a different kind of way. Give me a hard head, you know, kind of stubborn, and I'm not going to give up easy, and we get knocked down, but we'll get up again, and we'll keep going. We'll keep going. We know there's got to be one more elect out there. We're not going to give up and quit and run home with our tail between our legs because we got a little bit offended or we had a little bit of adversity. Come on now, saints. You know what it's all about. That's why you're here tonight. Amen. You had a tough time at work today or maybe last week or the week before or some other thing. You know, we're all soldiers of the same fabric, aren't we? Amen. And so it's an honor for me to be here. It's an honor for Sister Rebecca and I to have a family of God that has been so faithful and so loving and so supportive. And so it's just a privilege and an honor for us to be here. It's been a couple of years since we were here last. And I'm sorry I wasn't here last Wednesday as it was announced. But I made it. I'm here now. You know, maybe when I get a new body and I get a new head of hair, maybe I might look like Brother Donnie. That'd be real nice, Brother Donnie. You know, but God knows where every one of them is, right? And so praise the Lord. We're really honored to be here with you and just share some things with you. I was just looking to the Lord, you know, what would you have me to speak? And I feel, you know, it would just be right and an honor just to share with you some of the things that you're co-laborers with us in. And of course, too, when we're in the Middle East, you know, we see some things and we're living in things that, you know, CNN, I tell you, Fox News, they give you a lot of information, but it a lot of times ain't the way it is on the ground, if you know what I mean. And so maybe from the Word of God, we can see some things that'll be just a little more clear. And so let's take our Bibles, and brothers, you can turn on the slides. We're going to turn to Matthew 24, and we're going to start reading from just one verse, Matthew 24 and verse 32. And look down and see some friends. Amen. Such a charity. Brother Charlie, Brother Terry, Brother David, nice to see you here. God bless you. Hope to shake your hand afterwards. Amen. And all the rest of you too. Amen. We do love to be in fellowship. And as Brother Donnie said, you know, we live over there, and it's a lonely calling. And yet, nevertheless, Sister Rebecca and I, we feel we're right in the center of God's will. You know, it's not for everybody. And that's why we're here to get tanked up. We want to be filled up with fellowship. We want to take your love and your embraces back home with us and go the strength of many days afterwards. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, in the morning when I rise, I want to see you, Lord. We want to see you when we step on into that great eternity. Lord Jesus, you are the one that our eyes are longing for to see. But we've seen you, Lord, revealed in your word. We have the character and the understanding of what the voice of our bridegroom embodies. And Lord, that's why we're in love with you. We've received your grace and your mercies. And Lord, all we can say is we love you for your grace and your forgiveness and your blood, Lord, that was shed for us when we were so unworthy. And Lord Jesus, we just want to be what you would have us to be. And it's an honor to be here and express just a little of the burden, the desires that you've placed in our heart that Lord is fulfilling a part of your ministry. Lord, you're living through many members of the body, and there's many members here. And Lord, how thankful we are for this assembly, and Brother Donnie and all the ministering brethren here, and the deacons, the elders, the song leaders, the musicians, and Lord, from the greatest to the least, Lord, you've said in your word that the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John the Baptist. And Lord, here we are. We're asking that, Lord, once again, you'd come and grace us with your presence. Lord, just speak to our hearts from the word. Lord, we've never been this way before. We know we're coming into trying, shaking times. But nevertheless, you've predestinated a people that you had confidence in, that you knew would stand in the fire, that you knew would stand when everything else is shaking and falling down around. You had confidence in us. And may you encourage your bride here this evening in Happy Valley, Lord, is our prayer and desire as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 24 and 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And the subject of my message this evening is the summer is past. You may have your seat. The summer is past. We are coming into a harvest time. We believe it, don't we? You know, when you think of harvest time, you think of separating time. You think of binding time. That's a time when the laborers went out. You know, the seeds had been mixed in the field back in the very beginning. And they'd been allowed to grow together. But the Lord said, don't separate them until the time of the end. And at the end time, that's when the tares are going to be bound. That's when the wheat, the real seed, is going to be united together. And we are in a uniting time. Hallelujah. We are uniting. It's an invisible union. And so we are being joined together with the one who brought us forth. And he's living in and he's living through us. But of course we realize that in order to pass the test, to ripen in this harvest sun, it takes a great intensity. Amen. It takes a strong word. It takes strong preaching. It takes a great intensity of the light of God's word to bake out the greenness. And you know, we're seeing things happening around us. And don't forget, my brother, my sister, God is in control. Everything that happens, everything that comes unglued, everything that comes loose to shake your foundation and shake even, you know, the very message, as it were, that you and I have received and we believe it's true. It's all designed by God. All designed by God. He's got a purpose behind it. Shaking times so that all that can be shaken will be, so that those that are the elect will stand. That's why he said heresies is going to come among you. False teaching, false doctrines. As terrible as it is, and as shaking as these things are, and as degrading and woeful as it is, it has to come. So let us not be discouraged in these things, because we know we're coming into a time where that's the judgment seal. Amen. We know in the sixth seal, we see that the sixth seal is a judgment seal, exactly what it is. And we see how that, and we read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 4, we see how that the winds of adversity began to blow in our lifetime, some of us saw. Maybe not the First World War as that first wind blew. There's maybe very few that are still living. But nevertheless, we know in history, it's recent history. We see the effects of it. And we want to look at that a little bit tonight as we try to understand more clearly the will of God for where we're going from here, my brother and sister. Because, you know, we have a purpose for what we're here for. And that's what really I would like to share with you tonight. You know, it's wonderful to recognize God's move in this day, to recognize his messenger. But that was a one-man ministry by and large. Amen. William Branham fulfilled his part, delivered a word to us to give us faith, to cause us to look in on this white stone, keep looking on it. Why? So we could get inspiration for what we're to be doing in the future. That's why we're still here. And we can't just cabbage down and think, well, bless God, I got the message. Bless God, I received the word. It's what are we supposed to be doing with that word? That's what I'm interested in. And so we're looking at, it's all right, brothers. We blew up one video projector last time I was here, so don't worry. It's all right. It's all right. I got Brother Mike back there. They're going to help me out. Right, brothers? Amen. So we're going to go to the next slide. We're on Revelation chapter 7 now. verses 1-4. And we see here how that I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that wind should not blow on the earth, nor in the sea or in any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until what? Until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. So we see that the reason the winds of adversity, that the winds of war were being loosed, was to bring about the sealing of the 144,000. And there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. And so, Brother Brandon, we're going on now, if you can get to the next slide, seventh seal. He's saying here now, we notice this being just one verse here. We'd like to do something a little bit before here. If you notice, we skipped the seventh chapter. The sixth chapter ends up the sixth seal. But between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there's something that takes place. We are in that time right now. And how lovely that's placed just at its right place. All right, we got it. Good. Between the sixth and seventh chapter. Now we notice between the sixth and seventh chapter, there's an interval. Between the sixth and seventh chapter of the book of Revelations, it's between the sixth and seventh seal that this interval is given, and we want to notice this very important, that we notice this little time here. So we are living in this time that we want to understand and realize why it's so important. And the prophet goes on to say how that in the seventh seal, there's a revelation here, it reveals a happening, and I want more revelation. I want more revelation of why I'm here, what the will of God is, and what we should be praying about, and what we're purpose of the Spirit of God is here in us and working for us for, through us for. And here's the purpose. It reveals, it's a revelation that reveals something. And now he goes on to right into the vision of Daniel and seeing the interpretation of the image of the beast. If you can get that up, the next one. Everything of the Gentile age, just how one kingdom would succeed another and come down to the very end days that we're living in now, right? Now here he says, and to see in the Middle East all these things rising up, these troubles. There's trouble in the Middle East again. We know that. And look how he says here, little nations up there who has not been thought of or even spoke of for many, many hundreds, yes, thousands of years. Now I'm connecting this back to the winds of war. Because we got to be able to understand how that in these last days, these things was happening. Look at this map up here. Can you get it up there? We're going to see a map of the Ottoman Empire back in the circa of 1878. You can see up here that this Ottoman Empire that ruled from Istanbul, which is Constantinople, and went all the way down into Iraq, even covered a little bit of Persia, all of Syria, part of Arabia, Egypt, and Libya, all that area up there. Do you see any countries like Lebanon or Jordan or Syria there? But in Bible history, they were there, especially Syria, King Hiram of Lebanon, Phoenicians. And so we see how that in the Middle East, little nations who was never thought of, even spoke of, now they're going to come into being. And so we see there's a reason for the winds of war. And we go to the next slide there in the mark of the beast. And it says the first world war. We see how that skipping down, see how that it was held back mysteriously. It was stopped on the 11th hour of the 11th month of November, and we see how that was stopped until we've got Israel back in Palestine again. So we understand now we're coming into an overlapping time. The winds of war was stopped. The Ottoman Empire had to be broke down, then stopped. Why? Because we're coming to the time in between the sixth and seventh seal, this judgment seal is being loosed, until we've got Israel back in Palestine. Well, they couldn't get back to Palestine because the Muslim Ottoman Empire didn't want to let them go back there. And so if something is hindering God's plan, and take it down to your own life, if God has something for you or I, amen, and He wants us to be able to fulfill His word and His will, and there's something that's blocking the way, you and I can be sure of one thing, my brother, my sister, God will move heaven and earth so you and I can fulfill His word. No matter how big the empire is. No matter how much money, how much military they had, that fell before the Brits and the Allied forces. It broke them down. Why? Because a little nation of Israel had to come back into their land again. Now, we want to think about what's the reason? Well, we read it in Revelation 7. Holding the four winds until we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. And look at here now. Jesus speaking of the 11th hour people. Don't be dumb. 11th hour people got the same wage as the one that come in the first hour. Now that tells us something about the gospel, don't it? Them Jews, they're going to receive the same gospel you and I are going to receive. They got to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right back and seal the Jew. There's not different seals. There's not a different baptism for one nationality, one nation, one color of people, another color of people, maybe for the Jew or for the Gentile. It's one baptism, one spirit. Now we begin to think about, well, what is the true baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we know the Spirit only comes through the Word. Right? You can have a gift of the Spirit. And like the Pentecostals think that they got sealed by a gift and they speak in tongues, but their life proves that they didn't really get sealed. And we know Matthew chapter 7. There's going to be those that think they got a gift, think they got sealed, but they really didn't. They did a lot of wonderful things in Jesus' name, but they didn't have the Word. They didn't have the life. They didn't have the seed of the husband that knew them and had relationship with them. That's what it's all about. And brother, sister, we got to be careful. Because if we just get it intellectually, we just know a message, we just know what God did in this day, and we don't have relationship, we're not sealed. There's a big difference between relationship and experience and meeting that pillar of fire and having that change and knowing how that you've met Christ and He's living through you. Then you see the Word is not some legal book of do's and don'ts. It's not a difficult thing. You want to be in church. You want to praise God. You want to serve Him. Why? Because you are in love with Him and He is living out His Word through you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And really, that's what He wants for the Jewish people as well. That's why they got to get back to the land. Thank God you and I can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere, praise God. We can receive it on the backside of a mountain, in a cave, on your living room floor, right here at the altar. You can receive it maybe out somewhere else on a lake or something. But not Israel. They got to come back. For them, 144,000 at least. I mean, you know, if they come to believe on Jesus, you know what I mean. They can get it anywhere. But so we're looking at something here. And we're seeing here, we get to the next slide. All right, questions and answers. Yes, sir. We see how nations regaining their identity. And we see how that this had to come. And other nations were gaining their identity. We see how Allenby came right into Jerusalem. And how that they surrendered there. And they gave it back. They gave the land. The Brits gave the land back to the Jews. Because we see also other nations coming into play. Next slide. We see Luke 21. Notice how Luke records it now. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree. And all the trees. So now we're looking at end times. The winds of war blew. Broke up the Ottoman Empire so Israel could go back and it could begin to bud and blossom forth and sprout new life. But remember the prophet said, little nations that were nations long time ago hasn't been heard of or thought of or talked about. Those are trees too. Those are trees too. And so we come from that. Next slide. Did I turn this thing off or what? There we go. We had that. Now we go to the next slide. To this. All these nations. Individual nations. Now the next slide. Seventh seal. We see how we're looking at a bridge here now. And Brother Brown says they're in the seventh seal. It's a bridge. And because that's the only material we've got to go on. is the calling out of Israel. We know it's not the Jehovah's Witness, their doctrine and things. And next slide, we see in the seventh seal, it says, now this has nothing to do with the church age. So yet we are living here. Amen. The church age is not over yet until when? Until we get out of here. But we see how that the winds of war blew, broke up that Ottoman Empire. Israel became a nation. Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, you know, all these other nations became nations. And we're in the overlapping time now. We see where we're looking at. It doesn't have anything to do with the church age, but yet we're still here. The calling of the 144,000 is in the tribulation after the church period is over, after the church is gone. So we realize we're coming very close. We keep that before us. And yet, it's been amazing. Sister Rebecca and I have been over in the Middle East now. We're going on our fifth year. It just went like that. I mean, you just ask some of these old timers. Brother Charlie, where'd the years go? Just goes. Eternal people in an aging body, we just can't reckon with this time. It went so fast. And you know what? I mean, I'm not putting no dates on, but I'll tell you what, it could very well go another 10 years. You might not like to hear that. And yet, with the way things is going, who would have imagined what even happened last year in the Middle East? But we have to keep these things before us. And so we see how that, okay, I'm turning this thing off. All right, Brother Mike? You guys are going to do it. Good. Next slide. Look at here now. Israel restored after 2,000 years. Next slide. But now, what about the Middle East? Huh? Where are we? I took this picture. Enjoy the revolution in Egypt, right in the heart of Cairo, Tahrir Square, where all them people was milling about, thousands of people, and you saw it on the news last year, not even a year ago, hardly. Enjoy the revolution. What's happening now? Why are these revolutions taking place? Next slide. Is this an Arab Spring? Are we really looking at a new phase of humanity and peace and democracy? Or are we looking at a prelude to tribulation? Where are we at, my brother, my sister? You know what Laodicea is. Laodicea is people's rights. Look what happened in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. All these colonial nations, where are they today? They got their liberty. And so some of these Middle Eastern countries, they got their liberty. But they weren't real democratic states. They weren't really in Laodicea. And so look at these next slides. Look at these guys. Just keep hitting until you got all five of them up there. Where are these guys today? Hit it again. Hit it again, hit it again. You'll see them all. Mubarak, Gaddafi, the president of Yemen. And then the last one, Assad, he's on his way out. All this happened within a year. So we can come very, very quickly. Very quickly. Now next slide, we see back to our text again. When the branch is tender and when it puts forth its leaves, we know that summer is coming. It's not here. It's springtime. So when was that time? Next slide. We see that was 1948. And we know how Brother Bram says that the state of Israel, the nation of Israel is going to be born again, maybe in a day. They're going to look on him whom they have pierced. Is that going to be the whole nation? Or just a select few, Brother Donnie? I don't have the answer on that. But one thing we do know, like the newspaper said, a nation was born in a day. It was born. Next slide. We see now that was 1948, but look what happened. I've showed you these slides before, I think a year or two ago, where in 19 years later, 1967, we see how that God protected them in 1948 when they was just an infant, and then all the Arab nations was going to destroy them and push them into the sea. God came on the scene. He protected them. Just like he protects you and I when we're born again. We're infants in faith. We're infants with handling the word. We don't know how to protect ourselves. We're just babes born just drinking from the milk of the Word. And God watches over us. God watches over and protects us. We get a little bit older. We start to learn a few things. We maybe eat a little bit stronger meat. But yet we're still juveniles. Israel was only 19 in 67 when the Six-Day War came. And God came on the scene once again. 6 years later, next slide, 1973. Israel was getting a little bit relaxed now. They're in their 20s. A little bit cocky, confident. The Yom Kippur, the High Holy Day. They never thought they were unprepared. The Day of Atonement. The one day where the high priest goes in with blood. It's the holiest day of the year for Israel. They were on a complete Shabbat, a complete rest. Radios turned off. Everything shut down. And their enemy took advantage of it. So lesson to us, brothers, sisters. Don't ever put your guard down. Don't ever put your guard down. I don't like to say it, but it's true. Don't even put your guard down with family. We've always got to be prepared. Because where does the greatest attack come from? Not always from outside. The one that's really going to hurt you might be the one sitting next to you. That's all right. That's all right. We'll take it. We're built for the pressure. Amen. Amen. You know, we can handle it. We can take it. You know, I mean, when things are going against you, when things are being, you know, the devil is heavy on your case and pressure is coming against you and people are reviling you and persecuting you and saying all manner of evil against you and pressure is mounting, demon spirits are on you. You know what? That's the time for your greatest reward. Your greatest reward will come when you can suppress that flesh, when you feel like just getting right back in their ugly face and just yelling at them, and you say, it's all right now. Because that's the nature of the Christ that's within us. That's the Christ that's in us that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember that, saints. And so we see how that Israel had to grow up. They had to mature, just like us. And I showed you this slide, I think, last time, how 33 years later, in 1981, next slide, you'll see how that they flew in and they bombed out Saddam Hussein's nuclear reactor. They didn't wait for permission from America, from the United Nations. I told you this before, how there's times where we must be proactive. And we need to blow that demon right out of this orbit, right out of existence. Don't tolerate that devil in our families, in our churches. We got to be men and women that are standing on the Word. And we see that bogey coming in. We're going to destroy him. That's the defense of the living God and his people. Next slide. 61 years later now, Israel's getting more mature. They go in and they blow up the Syrian nuclear reactor in 2009. Now, next slide. What's going to happen to Iran? They're getting ready, folks. And what are we talking about? Next slide. We're talking about the summer's past. Israel has grown up. They're coming to maturity. Harvest time equals maturity time. The fig tree. But next slide, I want to ask you something. What is true maturity? Who does Israel really trust in? Is it faith in God or faith in chariots and horses? Next slide. Who protects Israel? Next slide. Is it their special forces? Or next slide, their tanks? Their F-16s? Their Merkvas? Next slide, we see in Zechariah. Don't forget now. Israel's maturing. They're getting bolder. They might not wait for permission to go in there and try to take out Iran's nuclear reactors. But you see, something also happens on the way to maturity if we're not careful. Sometimes we might fall heir to a little pride, a little bit too much confidence, a little bit too much self-assurance. And remember now, Israel, like you and I, are the sons of God. And our strength, Our fortification is not in the arm of flesh. Our fortification is not in how much you think you know. Our fortification is in only one person. Hallelujah. That's the Lord of glory. In His name. Amen. His name is above all names. If we fall at His feet and we say, Lord, you got to help me. I can't manage this situation. I got demons coming on me. Lord, you got to deliver me. That is real maturity. Not thinking that we're God's gift to the world. Not getting lifted up, folks. Because pride goes before a fall. You know, in Israel, as I've fellowshiped with Jews and so forth and learned some of their things, they're reading from much of the Old Testament, same book we're reading from. To them, the sin of pride is as if they've committed adultery on Jehovah. It's unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. And so we want to be careful of that. And that's why we read in Zechariah 14 that God's going to allow Israel to come under judgment. The city will be taken. The houses rifled. The women ravished. Half of the city will go forth into captivity. God will allow His chosen city, His chosen people to come under a tribulation. In order that then the Lord shall go forth. Hallelujah. And fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. And then His feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah to God. When you and I might be in a trial of tribulation, then we can count on the Lord shall come down.
All we have to do is just remain humble and walk in His Word. And we see the context, how that Jerusalem on the east and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there'll be a very great valley. And so we see what's going to take place. We might be living to see this happen. Maybe in a glorified body. But we're seeing the events coming up is what I'm trying to say. And next slide, we see how that Israel is also realizing something. They're getting a little bit nervous. They're feeling like they're getting outnumbered. The U.S. in January 25 sells Saudi Arabia 84 advanced F-15 fighters. Outnumbering Israel's IAF. Next slide. We see under the sixth seal, judgment. Israel's going to be surrounded and humiliated to prove who is her protector. Because as we see in the next slide, David embodied maturity. David said in Psalms 20, now I know that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Now some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. That's what Israel has got to come to. They've got to come back to the faith of their father David. You and I have been restored back to that faith. We've seen the supernatural among us. That's why God visited us in a generation and with a prophetic ministry, not to be only looking to that prophet, but to realize that God is still with us, to awaken our faith. The Holy Spirit, He said, is the prophet of the age. He's still with us. And so we realize, amen, when He is restored in His preeminence in Israel, then they will be protected. And there are those in Israel today that are really aware of this. They know they cannot trust in their air force. They cannot trust in their armies, in their tanks, in their special forces. But they realize that for Israel to be successful, for Israel to fulfill God's word, they need exactly what you and I need. That's the preeminence restored in our lives. He will come to His temple. He has come to you and I. The preeminence of Christ has been embodied in you and I now by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when we have power.
That's when we reach the apex of our position in Christ, when we come to a realization that now it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Restored in His bride, restored in His church. We are His temple. He's come back to His temple. That's why we can be an invincible force. And that's what Israel is waiting for. They need to come to that. Next slide. They're going to be, Jerusalem's going to become a cup of trembling, surrounded by all nations. But Israel is not there yet. They're not calling on the name of the Lord. And that's why we see another mystery unfolding here of Abraham and Hagar under the sixth seal. Because as we look at the next slide in Romans 4, we see a paradox. We see Abraham who by all accounts was not weak in the faith, even though he considered, even though he knew his own body was dead. He neither considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was able to do. But how do we reconcile that with him taking this Egyptian woman and siring another seed, another nation of wild men thousands of years ago? And the mystery of why did he do that? Brother Branham goes on in the message, the seed is not there with the shuck. And Sarah, thinking that God would not be able to keep all of his promise, told Abraham, take Hagar. It was her idea. She was weak in faith. She was staggering. She was stumbling. She was not fully persuaded. And so she said to Abraham, take this woman, my handmaid. But Abraham staggered not. And so we see how a prophet of God is saying, and seeds not ever the shuck. That's the way God had it planned. Next slide. We see how that God told Abraham, take Hagar. He didn't want to do it. But God told him to go ahead and do it anyhow, to marry her, he says in the next slide. Why? Because as we see, another nation was going to come by Hagar, by which God would fulfill his judgment seal. Next slide, brothers. Next slide. Judgment seal. Judgment had to come by another nation. Israel was to be judged. And woe be to that nation that comes against God's holy nation. But you see, God had to raise a Pharaoh up, didn't he? To accomplish his purpose. A Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And that's why we are now, we're not coming into an Arab Spring, my brother, my sister. We are coming into a time of the prelude to the tribulation. A humbling of Israel. So that they will come to that place of desperation. That place where they're utterly humiliated. That the enemies around about them are better armed, more equipped than any time in their history. The accumulative sum of all the armament of Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Dubai and Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and Hezbollah. Israel is no match for them. It's building up. Demon forces may be amassing around you even as we speak. You and I are no match for them. But there's a God that'll stand for you. Hallelujah! There's the God of Israel that will stand for them as much as He will stand for you and I. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah to God. That's why we can really have faith tonight, my brother, my sister. That's why Sister Rebecca and I can be over there and we can go into these Muslim countries because we know who we are and we know a prophet never said fear that green Muslim curtain. So we can go forward. But we see Muslim fanatics serving God's purpose. Next slide. Yeah, they're going to serve God's purpose. And so next slide, we see that the revolution has come. Next slide. Don't be fooled by this Arab Spring. But let's recognize There's got to be a false peace that's got to come somewhere in the midst of all of this. And that's why I really feel from what I've been observing, how I've been moving in these parts. Oh, these Muslims. You've got to know their religion. Muhammad taught them. If you are weaker than your enemy, put on a face that you're their ally. Deceive them. Until you get stronger than your enemy. And when he doesn't expect it, turn on him. Turn on him and destroy him. But you see, the world. Oh, we want democracy. We want to have people have a vote. Yeah, give them the vote. And what did they do in the Gaza Strip? They voted in the terrorist. Give them the vote in Egypt. What did they do? They voted in the Muslim Brotherhood. They're rebranding themselves for the public eye. But underneath it all, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. 1 Thessalonians is on its way. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Next slide. Something's on the horizon. We've got to watch. It has a potential for peace. But then next slide, we see how that the powers and the pressures that kept religious radicals and fundamentals subdued is gone. Mubarak, Gaddafi, they were bad in their own right, but what's come after them is worse. They had all this money in their pockets and they subdued the pressures that were, but now they're gone. It's been loosed. Pandora's box, as it were, is being loosed. The can of worms, whatever you want to call it. Demon spirits are coming out. I've walked the streets of Egypt. I met with these local people. Oh, yeah, they want a better life. But underneath it all, they hate Israel. They want to cancel the peace treaties. They're waiting for the opportunity. Next slide. What does the world think about religious fanaticism? What does religious fanaticism produce? Next slide. Fear. Crisis. Next slide. We know the world hates fundamentalists of any religion. Fundamentalists, extremists, Hindus, extremists, Jews, extremist Christians, like that guy in Norway that killed all them innocent people. Next slide. You see, the fanatics are tipping the scales. Moderate Muslims, which I meet also, they don't have any identification with them. And that's why, next slide, we see that there's some things changing. There's a reformation coming. Moderates are distancing themselves. They're still Muslims though. But where are they going? Next slide. I've showed you this slide before. King Abdullah meeting with the Pope. A man that 5 times a day he's supposed to be praying, God destroy this infidel, destroy these Jews. And there he is meeting with him. What's happened since then? Since I showed you this a few years ago. Next slide. Well, Pope keeps doing his work. Here he's meeting with a Sunni Muslim chief. Well, let's go back to the word now. Handwriting on the wall. Next slide. Look how a prophet is saying. When we see all the Eastern and Middle Eastern powers, the Eastern and Western world again uniting, coming together. He's putting it into Daniel's vision. What is it? It's a repeating again. It's a revival of the Roman Empire. Because the Pope doesn't care if all these Muslims bow down to him and he becomes their leader. He just wants alliance. He wants them in submission to him. He don't need to have them become Catholics. You can understand what's happening in the world, my brother, my sister. I mean, I only live about 200 miles from where everything's happening in Syria. Thank God we got some water between us, Brother Donnie. But look at here, this Pope, next slide. He's choosing his side. And if you understand who this man is, then you'll understand the next slide. Because next slide, you don't know maybe, but there's two major denominations in Islam. And they do not get along together. Next slide. Shiites, which are the ones in Iran, the Hezbollah, they're the ones that believe in like a papal succession. That's why they got their Ayatollah Khomeini. You see, when he dies, they get another successor. All on down the line from Muhammad, Muhammad's family. That's the Shiites. That's how you understand it. But the Sunnis, they don't have a leader like that. They just follow the word, the Quran. They got all kind of different preachers, as it were. They're imams. And so they're bitter, bitter enemies. Shiites are not Muslims, according to a Sunni. That's why we got this tension. And that's why we see the Pope aligning himself with what? Look at the next slide. Who's the bigger majority? Look at here. This is all that is Shiite. All this other light green stuff and this pale up here, that's all the Sunnis. And so we see world events are shaping up. Next slide. There's going to be a crushing of these extremists to make way, I believe, for a peace that's short-lived. But as we go on, we see that we are in a time of judgment under the sixth seal. Next slide. An interval of grace for sealing the 144,000. Let's not lose sight of the objective here tonight. And that's why, next slide, we see, as we look at the seal that is coming, we looked at what was in future, but we're looking at what is God's objective, to bring Israel to a place where they will receive their seal. Now, the seal on the day of Pentecost was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the seal? Next slide. Brother Brown's asked, you know, what was that seal? What did it look like? He goes on and he says, the seal in their forehead was sealed by the revelation that he was the Son of God. There's your mark, he says. That's what we're marked by. We know that Jesus Christ was not the second person of the Trinity. We know that this is God himself embodied as the kinsman redeemer. We look at Jesus, we realize he's Melchizedek. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's Jehovah Shalom, embodied in the greatest revelation. The Word made flesh. That was the revelation. That was the seal, he says. And if that's the seal that Israel has got to be sealed with, tell me this. Who's going to preach that to them? There's got to be some interaction. Moses and Elijah is going to preach it. That's right. But maybe in the lead up to it, who else in the world today has the truth of the Word of God? It ain't the Baptist. It ain't the Pentecostals. It certainly ain't the Catholics. And so we see something unfolding here. Are you catching my point now? Next slide, we see how that God will call with these prophets. What is it? The spirit of Elijah that's on you, and you, and you, and you, and you. I won't ask for a show of hands, but who here's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight? See, that spirit has come to us. It left Pentecost. It gave them a temporary revival. They had an anointing. They had a gift. But he was waiting to come back in a body in the fullness once again. That's why we're here. That's why we received the fullness of the word. So we could get the true revelation, the true seal. Once it's restored to the church, then it can go back to Israel. That's why we had to receive it. That's why we have to be anointed and sealed with it. Anointed with an Elijah ministry. An Elijah ministry that is going to move in a direction where people are waiting for Elijah. For 2,000 years. Every dime, every year at the Passover feast when they have their seder and they sit around the table and they're celebrating the Passover coming out of Egypt and they got all their meal and they got their matzah bread and everything else there. They got one empty chair. And before they start the meal, they send the youngest boy to the door. He looks outside. And what's he looking for? Looking for Elijah. Hallelujah. He's looking for that spirit. Amen. Glory to God. They're waiting for him. But we know where that anointing is. Amen. In that time, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But when they came into the presence of Joseph, they didn't know whose presence they were in. He was veiled in a Gentile role. Amen. And so we see this Pentecostal message. Amen. Not the Pentecost of Laodicea. We're talking about the original Pentecostal. Acts 2:38, young ones, hallelujah. Amen. Back to the original faith. Back to the faith of our fathers. That's the Pentecost. That's what Israel needs to hear. They need to hear where their Joseph was for this time of silence. They need to know the mystery of redemption as he was taking his bride. Because that's what the brothers did when they got in his presence. Where were you? What happened? And so we see how that these messengers, they've got to preach to them the same message, I believe, what you and I have. So what? Next slide. So that they can receive the Holy Ghost. Just like they did 2,000 years ago. And so we see what's happening, what's coming in this time. Amen. I'm just going to skip a few slides. We see how that they're going to call them out of their sacrifices, out of their traditions. Which they have traditions right now, but is Israel sacrificing? Is Israel making the sacrifice lamb? Have they got the blood? Have they got all these things? No. Not until they get their temple. And that's coming. But you see, next slide, brothers. The Jews, they need a heart change. That's what I want to show. Because under this mystery we're looking at, we see Revelation chapter 6, from the fifth seal to the sixth seal. Jews need a heart change. Amen. Next slide. Keep going, brothers. Next slide. Till we get to the heart change from crying out, how long, O Lord? How long? You see, they will believe. They will receive the one who died for them. Because there is only one Spirit. There is only one baptism. And we see under Revelation chapter 6, go to that slide, under the fifth seal, the nature of these Jews that do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We see a vengeful spirit. Hello? Watch out. Oh my, I tell you what. We got to crucify this flesh. When somebody says evil against us, somebody does us wrong, somebody crosses us, oh, Lord have mercy, we want to just revile back. Oh, God, let me get vengeance. Wrong spirits. Time to get back to the altar. Time to check out your experience. Oh, yeah, we can start out fine. But you know what? If we don't stay in that presence, we'll dry up. And we get all... You know what Brother Branham said a sticker was? Just to leave without moisture. Dried up old Christian experience. Sticky nature. Can't get along with nobody. Gets aggravated easy. Loses their cool. Gets a bad temper. Gets a bad attitude. What's wrong? Oh, you need to come to the fountain. You need to come where cleansing waters flow. We need to get to the place where we can get refreshed in His presence. Be liberated. Die to self. And that's why we see these souls under the altar crying out for vengeance. Next slide, we see a prophet of God clearly telling out these ones that were martyred, these souls under the altar, they were martyred for the testimony of God, not the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hitler hated them. So did Eichmann. So did Stalin. And they were killed because they were Jews. And that's why he says, do you know Martin Luther kind of had the same idea too. Next slide. In the first seal, Brother Ram says, Martin Luther, he made the proclamation that Jews all ought to be run off because they were Antichrist. Now Hitler just fulfilled what Martin Luther said. How could Martin Luther say that? How could he say it? In direct contradiction to the Word. It's because he wasn't anointed to be able to see the prophecy that was being fulfilled. And that's why when a prophet comes on the scene, oh, I tell you what, he gets a love for Israel. He gets a burden for Israel. He has a longing in his heart. I want to go to Israel. I want to go there and show that messianic sign. How do you feel towards Israel?
Is there something we need to do?
I don't have the answers, but I tell you what, if there's something that God has got for us, I want to pray. I want to be a part of it, Brother Donnie. I want to be what God wants to anoint us for. Because I realize nobody else on the face of the earth can understand these things. The Lutherans don't. The Baptists don't. The Pentecostals got a little bit of an idea, but they still got it wrong. But there was a prophet in the last days. He wanted to go to Israel. He bought his ticket. He was on the way. He was right there in Cairo. And you know what? Thank God he got stopped. Thank God. God said, don't go. Not ever. Not ever. He said, don't go now. Why? Look at how Elisha fulfilled the prophetic ministry of Elijah. Elijah was supposed to go and anoint 3 people, right? How many did he anoint? 1. And Elisha did the rest. And the bride that's left here is anointed by a prophet, understanding God is going to go back to Israel and is going to reveal his word to them. Why do you feel the pull in your heart? Because you're under that anointing. That's why I guarantee you, when you get around one of them little Orthodox Jews that's got one of them funny little hats in their head. Who was it? Sister Judy? Was it? Hey, what church do you go to? Was it you, Sister Judy? No? Where's the other Sister Judy? She's not here. Yeah, little Jew. Just intrigued. Knew that this Sister Judy that goes right here, Brother Junior's wife, right? Something different about her. Something appealed to that little Jew. Our sisters dress just like you do. Hallelujah to God. There's an affinity there, my brother, my sister. There's an affinity there. Luther didn't understand it, but a prophet understood it. And that's why we see how that the seeds of the Holocaust, next slide, was found in Luther's teaching. That's why he did what he did. But next slide, we see that they were blinded. God stopped the prophet because there had to be a group of people of this bride in the last days that had to come in, hallelujah, before Israel is sealed. Thanks be to God that prophet didn't go to Israel, because I wouldn't be here and a lot of you wouldn't either. Glory to God, there's an interval, there's a space of grace in this last days. But the time is winding up. The time is getting ready. Amen. For that lap over. That layover, hallelujah. Amen. Where they're gonna, when His grace is gonna reach down to them. Because you see, as the prophet of God said here, He blinded them. It's different from when a person blinds themselves willfully. You see, Israel, even in the days when Jesus was walking the earth, Nicodemus came to him. Different ones said, tell us, by what authority do you do this? There was Jews that wanted to see, wanted to know, who are you? We've been looking for a Messiah. Are you the one? Tell us, by what authority you do it? But God blinded them. God wouldn't allow them to see. He blinded them so that we could come in. Hallelujah. His grace stopped them from realizing. That's why they cried out, crucify Him and let His blood be on us. God did it. And if God does it, it's His prerogative when He undoes it. He'll choose when He'll undo it. Next slide. God's grace stoops down to them. Right there in the 5th seal, we see how His grace reached down to them. Hallelujah. Oh, that's all right. You didn't mean to do that. That was God doing that. God let you all do that. Could run me out. Bring me down here so I could save lives for people. These Gentiles here. I got my wife. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. He got His wife. He's got you, my brother, my sister. That's what He's been busy doing. And when the last one comes in, His bride is going to be put out of the palace and He's going to turn to His brothers. That's why, next slide, we see Joseph fits right in here.
and the mystery of redemption under the sixth seal. How his brothers come to him. How that they didn't recognize who he was. Standing in his presence. They come once. They come twice. They didn't know who it was. That speaks of an overlapping time. It speaks of grace time. Go to Zechariah 4. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that thou shalt become a plain? And he shall bring forth a headstone whereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Grace to the Jew. Grace to the Gentile. There we are. Hallelujah. Grace twice under that sixth seal. And so we see that same Pentecostal message as we see in the next slide. That's what Moses and Elijah are going to preach. The same message that we in belief, because they will be able to answer the question to the Jews. Well, you're telling us about Yeshua Messiah, but that was 2,000 years ago, and now you're saying that he's come, but what's he been doing for 2,000 years? Oh, brother, oh, sister, what you thought was God's plan to murder and kill him, he meant for his glory to save lives. So for 2,000 years, in the mystery of redemption, under these seven church ages, under these seven seals, he was taking a bride, you. You are now coming to a place. We're coming close, my brother, my sister. We're coming close. And that's why I'm not bothered by all the great shakings, Brother Donnie. Because I tell you what, that last mile's the hardest mile. You can count on it, saints. Oh, I tell you what, fasten your seatbelts. Put your helmets on if you need to. Tighten up. I mean, tighten up with family at home. Tighten up with your loved ones. We're coming in for the final approach now. All of hell is against this bride. All of hell is against the word. And that's why he doesn't want the word to go back there. Because when this message gets to be preached over there, he knows his time is over. Hallelujah to God. Next slide. Look at this one here. Questions and answers. 57. Can you get it, brothers? Next one. Questions and answers. 57. Well, Donnie, I don't know if I got this place right. But look what Brother Brown says. He's talking about Moses and Elijah. Brought plagues out. Smote heaven. Smote the earth. Smote them denominations. Amen. Who was that? Exactly. Moses and Elijah. Them two witnesses. They tormented the church. They tormented the world by their preaching. And receiving back the Jews, bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on the Messiah. And when they, who's they? Looks like the Jews. Looks like Moses and Elijah, don't it? When they see Jesus coming for who? Come on now. Coming for all you, calling for me. They'll say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's him. He's coming for us. But no, he's not coming for them. He's coming for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, when they think he's coming. Oh, my brother, my sister. I tell you, I don't have all the chronology of things. And sometimes Brother Branham says something, well, we can't hardly place it just right. But I tell you what, this is exciting to me. It tells me, don't put your little revelation in a box, folks. Amen? That's the point of this quote. Don't get your little revelation all fixed up and saying, well, bless God, I'm getting out of here before things get tight. I don't know. According to this, it might get kind of ugly out there. And you know what? Some folks might just kind of, well, I thought the prophet of God said that I wasn't going to see all of this nonsense. What's going on here? What's wrong with my pastor? What's wrong with my revelation? Brother Donnie, who's wrong around here? Don't do that. Don't do that now. The message is in the message. We walk in the light. He'll show us the light. He'll teach us all things. And just because you got a few quotes here and there, don't think you got it all wrapped up. We might be around for a while. We might be around to see some of these things like Moses and Elijah. We might. Hallelujah. Of course, we know, next slide, Romans chapter 11, that we're not getting out of here until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So that's our work. Be it for you all here in Johnson City. Be it over there, next slide, in Israel. What does God have planned for Israel in these days? What else could be taking place over there? Well, we've been over there. Next slide, you'll see Brother Solomon there. A family that Brother Solomon's father was Jewish. He went over to India. Brother Solomon, right here. This is his wife. This is his son Abraham, his daughter, son Israel. And he finally came to a place where he felt the Spirit of God leading him to go back to Israel. Well, because his father was Jewish, he could make his aliyah, which means he can move back legally. And they give him his citizenship and so forth. And so, make a long story short, Brother Solomon, next slide, you see, he went and even got a church registered. So there's a little message church, legally registered, so the Jews can't kick him out. Nobody can tell him where to go. It's starting. It's starting. We don't know what's going to come of that. It's just Brother Solomon and his family is all right now. But you see, saints of God, we don't want to throw stones at things when God might lead somebody. Despise not the day of small beginnings. We know that this bride came in preview twice, isn't that right? And we know we got different people over there in Israel. Next slide, you see this is the dedication where some of the saints came from different parts of the world. We were there too. But next slide, you see that there's Arabs. This is Najib. He's an Arab Palestinian. There's Arabs. There's Arabs that are Christians in Israel, in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon. People that want to know more about Jesus, more about the Word of God. But who's going to tell them? Who's going to give them the Word, the fullness? Why can't there be a little group of believers in Jesus in the fullness of the restored Word in Israel, in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Syria? Like there was in the first age. And of course, you know, I'm just telling you my burden. This isn't anything new. So there's Arabs there that need to hear. This gospel is for them too. Next slide, you see some Messianic Jews that we've been with. This is Gal and Leah. They were born into Jewish families. But God gave them a revelation that the Messiah they were looking for is Jesus. But you see, these Jews of the Messianic community in Israel, they've got an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. Because they know from their forefathers, from their prophets, from Abraham, God is one. That's all. But when they get to believing on Jesus, the Christian community says, well, come on over to Moody Bible Institute. Come on over to Dallas Theological Seminary and we will give you your degree. And then Jews come out of there believing in the Trinity. The majority of the Messianic community today believes that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. Because you see, that's what got me kicked out of Lebanon. It wasn't the Muslims. It's because if you don't believe the Trinity in the Middle East, you're not even a Christian. And yet you see, like Gal and Leah, they can't reconcile this. Some of the greatest leaders of the Messianic movement, they're hypocrites. Because they want their children to have full Jewish recognition from the state of Israel. And the way they can only get that is they got to lie to the rabbi to circumcise their males and to consummate their children's marriages. But if they told the rabbi they were believers in Yeshua, they wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. So the whole Messianic community is in a mess. I say, who is going to help them? Who's going to be able to come and preach to them the truth about who Jesus is, about how to be ready, how to get away from all this rules and regulations that the Pharisees gave them? You don't find anywhere in the Bible where they got to cover their heads, wear their little kippahs. That's man-made traditions. Paul even says if a man prays with his head covered, he's dishonoring his head. How do you get that into the New Testament church? They're going back to their laws, their legalism Judaizers, their Pharisees trying to be Christians. God have mercy. Those people need help. Messianic Jews confused. And so we're there trying to meet some of these ones and share the word with them. Next slide. Now this man, Eliezer, is different again. He'd be glad to come to y'all's church. He realizes that, you know, even though Christians, they see Jesus something different than what I do, yet they love the same Bible. They love the same God that I love. And if Christians were found helping to rebuild the walls, Brother Donnie, Gentiles, why can't Christians help us when we want to build in the showroom room? Next slide. You see right here? You can't maybe see it very good. These are all mountains. These are little weak communities. Next slide. Look at here. Here's a school. Little Jewish families trying to go out into this barren, rocky, mountainous land, wilderness that Arabs don't want to live on. But it's Samaria. It is their land. And they know God gave it to them. And they know the only way they're going to reclaim the land is they got to have possession. They got to put footsteps down on that land. They got to build a little community. But you see how dangerous it is? They got to build 10-foot wall fences around their kindergarten school so the Arabs, the Palestinians, don't come in and kidnap their children. How many of you all is that desperate enough to have your life in the Holy Ghost, your promised lands? And so Eliezer is trying to support these little families. Some of them barely got enough money to live on. They don't have electricity. Some of them, they got to have a little generator. But there they are. They're trying to eke out a living on their promised land. Oh, brother, I tell you, when I saw them little Jews out there trying to live in such meager conditions, oh, how it moved my heart. And I thought, oh, God, may that just move us as believers to fight for what land is ours. Not to just roll over so easy. Just to give in to the devil. Oh, my kids like it. Oh, they want to do this. Oh, I think I'll just go here instead of, you know, coming to a prayer meeting and coming to church. Don't roll over. If it ain't worth dying for, it ain't worth living for. And these people are living it. And that's why Eliezer, tell you what, if there's one sure way, I know how for a Gentile to get a blessing. You bless Israel and you get a blessing. So yeah, he goes to Christian churches and he tells all what they're trying to do and he shows all these slides and people give. People helped him. And so these are people that, you know what? Sometimes you got to touch somebody's life with something in order to cause them to realize what they're missing. And so that's why we're out there. And Eliezer is he met me and I just laid it right out to him. I said, Eliezer, I am not like your other Christian friends. I'm not going to try to convert you because I know that if he comes to a place where he's following the word of God, them two prophets, they will witness to him and he'll come in maybe that way. But I tell you, I believe in the same God you do. My Jesus is not some other person. It's not the Trinity. He says, you don't believe in that Trinity? Wow. He says, I'm impressed. I got something in common with you that I don't have with anybody else. He's dying. He literally wants to bring me to other churches so that he can meet other people like us. And so, if I can't get him here, well, baby, you can come over there. Yeah. And that's why we're doing an Israel tour. Because I thought, that's another way that we can get the word over there. And meet some of these people. But anyway, I'm not here to tell you all about that. Next slide. You know, we're living on Cyprus. And that's our home. Ain't much of a home. It's a rocky, kind of a barren island. Sister Becky and I, we go walking out at night because it's too hot during the day, 100, 110. And we go walking at night because it's cool. And we've got to watch out for the vipers. Last 3 days in a row, we had to kick these snakes out of the way just about. Poisonous, worse than water moccasins. But we're there. We're trying to meet people. Next slide. You see some of them. And so we're doing what we can there in that little island. But we're using it as a base. And you know, next slide, we used to go to Syria. We'd love to return back there, but it's too dangerous right now.
And so we're just waiting, praying for those ones that we shared the word with there. And next slide, you see Lebanon. We can't get back there, but we keep in contact with some of the people there. In fact, I even brought one of the brothers over that we had been speaking the word to. And he's just, he was with us at Brother Jason's and so forth. And he's just visiting a friend. We'll meet him tomorrow, actually. But anyway, we just don't give up on it. Amen. Even though we baptized many people there, next slide, in Egypt as well. You know, we get rejected. The word is not a popular message. And you know, it's discouraging. And I'll tell you honestly, it wasn't the easiest of years last year. You know, when you have people that you've labored with, you've sojourned, you've sowed with, you've prayed with, you've cried with, you've wept with, and then they turn their back on you. I knew what it was to read where Paul said, "And Alexander the coppersmith did me much damage. How many has forsaken me? All in Asia has forsaken me." The first church age messenger. The Alpha church, they was rejected. They was ridiculed. They suffered rejection and failures, as it were. I love success. I love blessings. You all love testimonies. It's shameful to stand here and tell you. I labored. I put a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of sweat and perseverance and preaching into these people. And I have to say, like Paul, they've forsaken me. It's shameful. But yet, this is the Omega church. Is it going to be any different than the Alpha church? Do we quit? Do we give up? We say, "Oh, Brother Tony's all washed up, and he's not doing nothing over there, and let's look for something more glorious, more glamorous, and more exciting." I wouldn't blame you. Honestly, I wouldn't. And that's why, you see, you didn't send me over there, and so you can't recall my visas either, folks. I'm there because He called me. I'm there because He sent me. And so, if they forsake us in Lebanon, they forsake us in Egypt, they forsake us in Jordan, next slide, or they forsake us in Turkey, we keep going. And so, this spring, this year in Greece, next slide, we've been ministering there. God opened a little door there, and there's a family, next slide, where, you're right here, this is Brother George. He's a Greek national. Make a long story short, his wife is the daughter of a pastor from New Zealand. I had to go to Australia, Brother Don, to find out these people was in my backyard. Strange how God works. Next slide. You see this man here in Kavala? That's actually the ancient seaport. If you look in your New Testament, you'll read how that Paul left Troy or Troas and went to Neapolis, right? That's where this man lives. Kavala is Neapolis, the port of Macedonia. And so we got in contact with him because he heard Global Answers on the satellite television. So we went to follow up. Then next slide, you see some of the congregation there that we've been ministering to. Next slide, you see him bowed down and praying. Next slide, you see a new outreach there in central Greece. And so next slide, you see we got a couple of tracts translated and printed into Greece. So into Greek. So we're doing what we can. Next slide, you see here the little nation of Bahrain. Which some of you, if you've been on the military base, it's a little wee island beside Qatar, across from Saudi Arabia. Next slide, you see a bridge there. And that bridge is packed every weekend. Because you see, Muslims, even though their Quran forbids them to drink alcohol. Yeah, right. They go across that bridge into Bahrain. Because Bahrain sells alcohol. Has got nightclubs. It's open. And so there's a little brother. How many of y'all remember the song? "What we have is the pillar of fire." Remember that song? It was a brother from the Philippines, Fidel Baltazar, that wrote that song. And his son went over now, next slide, and he started to minister in Bahrain. He's preaching there. He invited me over in December, and you see the next slide there. He had a big brochure, a big banner right there in the lobby of the hotel. I said, "Brother Ian, what are you doing? This is a Muslim country. You trying to get me locked up or something?" He said, "Don't worry. It's a free place. You know, they don't really care that much." And he was right. Next slide. You see, he invited about 100 people to that hotel that night. We preached the word in Bahrain. It's possible, saints. Glory to God. Don't let your faith be paralyzed. God can make a way. And so that's why we're out there doing what we're doing. Amen. Next slide, you see in the Feast of the Trumpets how the prophet of God says, you know, that ecclesiastical spirits are uniting together, bringing them in all to this one big slaughter to blot them out. It's already in writing here now in this nation that these churches has got to be closed unless you're with the organization. It's a union. It's a boycott, just like the mark of the beast. And now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power. And a power, ecclesiastical power, that it'd be so close, like the real thing, it deceived the very elect if it was possible. But he promised to have something here for us in that day. Glory to God. We have got that something else. He said, and that we wouldn't be deceived. Glory to God. You and I are under a promise. Many others are going to be deceived. They're going to be shaken. They're going to fall down, fall away. But there's going to be those that are going to stand. Hallelujah to God. And that's the word in Christ to make it manifest to us. They're supernaturals. Devils, unseen to the eye, but you can see what they're doing. Do you see tonight? Hallelujah. The summer's passed. Next slide. And we know the next slide, Matthew 24 and 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Musicians, why don't you come? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the honor and the privilege to be included in your great plan of redemption. To have even a little part, Lord. Oh God, what an honor it is to be able to be one, to carry this pure word, this undefiled seed back into these very regions that first heard the gospel, Lord. Oh God, you never said it'd be easy. You never promised us a silver platter, a rose garden. But you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, that's our promise. Lord, you've given us the best thing that you could in these last days. You've given us eyesalve, discernment of spirit. You've opened the word that we might know and see supernatural things around us. Discerning of devils, discerning of the mark of the beast, and discerning who are those that need to hear this word and where it needs to go. And so, Father, we thank you for this congregation. Lord, for their friendship, their love, for their pastor, for the ministers, for each and every member, Father. What a glorious day that will be when we cross over. Oh, and when we're shouting on the streets of glory. Hallelujah. Lord, won't it be grand then when we're all together in your presence. But until then, Lord, keep us strong. Keep us faithful. Fortify us, we pray, as we ask all these mercies. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for standing with us, keeping us on the field so we can be out there and be what God wants us to be. Amen. Brother Donnie, why don't you come?
Praise the Lord. So you wonder, in God's mind, how many will it take in Syria or Iran or Iraq or wherever those places are, Cyprus, from the very place that Paul began to sail down and spread this gospel. And it goes right back to where it started from. New Testament being printed in Greek, and then you imagine now in this day, message tracts being printed back in Greek again. So it returns right back again. It may not take, you know, a big, large church here and a big, large church there and another large church. It might just be a group here, two or three over there, two or three over there. And that will finish up the making of his bride. We're living in a blessed time, aren't we? Do you appreciate that presentation and all that put together? Praise the Lord. I just want to be standing near myself whenever different people that have given to the cause of Christ, whether it's been of their means and money, been of their time, of their life, whatever it's been, when Jesus sends out rewards at that day. For you know, it'll be a great thing. Be a little housewife that'll walk up. She wasn't a preacher, yet she trained a family. Out of there, a girl may have married a boy. That boy become a pastor. She was a pastor's wife. Yet it all ties back together. And somehow, He gives us the strength to do what He calls us to do. And then He rewards us for doing what He gave us strength to do. Is that love or what? I mean, we can't even do it. We don't have the ability to be able to even do it. He gives us the strength to do it. Gives us the call. Gives us the mercy. The understanding. And then when Gary Trey said, now, I'm going to reward you for what I helped you to do. How can you describe someone like that? All I know is I love Him, don't you? I appreciate His grace. We certainly want to remember Brother Tony and Sister Rebecca in our prayers and others that are doing things in very difficult, adverse conditions in different parts of the world. They're not there for fame, for fortune. They're not there because it's the easier way, because God has burdened them and put something on their hearts. Let's pray together, if you would. Truly, Lord Jesus, we count it a privilege tonight. We can see what You are doing, and we're indeed grateful, Lord. I imagine it must be quite a feeling to tread over those same old countries to where the apostles tread, knowing great work sprung forth from there, and the gospel has now come back home. Lord, we don't know how many that it'll take to make up that number. But we know in the vision that Brother Branham saw that there was an international bride. And they were dressed in their international garb, as it was, to show him that it was an international bride. I pray, Father, for our brother and sister. We pray not only for them, but for others in different parts of the world. Lord, even some of our own brothers here have risked their health, their life, to go and preach in faraway places. Lord, much of what has been done for Your kingdom, there'll be many people that will stand that day and be great things that will be attributed to what they have done. They didn't have the largest churches, maybe. They never got great accolades or praise. Their names was not seen in many of the magazines. But You keep good records, Lord. And we know that You can take something that is very little and very small, and You're able to turn it into much. We don't ask to do big things. We just want to do that which pleases You. Help us, I pray. Most of us here, Father, these things, it's beyond our world. It's beyond our understanding. We say, how could people do that? How could they leave their home and leave everything that's dear to them and do such a thing? But those You call, You qualify. You give them the ability. We can't do that, but there's things we can do. So we want to serve You faithfully also at our post of duty until the last one has been called together and we can take our flight home. We love You, Lord Jesus. Strengthen Your people around the world, Lord God. Keep us in these unsettled times. Keep the bride of Christ, I pray, right on the foundation of the Word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Jesus says it this way, heavens and earth shall pass away, but My Logos shall never fail. Never pass away. I believe that, don't you?
Yes.
Let's give the Lord a hand tonight for His Word. I hear different missionaries and, you know, they're from China or wherever they're from. And boy, when they're preaching, I'm ready to go home, pack my suitcase. But then thank God I come to myself. By the end of the service, I'm back down in Tennessee. So But seriously, let's not leave this place tonight and forget about such people and their work. You may not be able to go, but we can send them. And we can pray for them and help them. And if God puts these brothers and sisters, wherever they are in different parts of the world, on your heart, don't let that pass. Get out of your bed at night, stop if you're at Walmart, on the side of the road, whatever it is, and pray for them. Because you never know what type of a situation that they're in. And God put it on your heart. Amen. Let's sing together Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. But we know truly that's what it'll be that gets us all together. Let's sing it together before we go. Keep Brother Tony and Sister Rebecca in your prayer. They've got some more places that they're going in the States and also up in Canada before they return back home to Cyprus in a few weeks. So we want to just remember them that God will be with them and help them and bless the work there. God bless you. We love you in the Lord. The Lord will not see you again this weekend. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sing it, children. Fear of God, bright shining as the sun. We know that days to save God's praise. Praise God, praise God, oh praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God,
Standing all within the presence of